verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
You know, I really love that particular scripture. And if you're reading Titus, you can miss that because it's almost like it's buried in there. But if you look at what the good news that truly is, for the grace of God has appeared unto all men, that was earth-shattering. This is not something in which you can stand and say, well, you know, God showed up today, but yeah. No, this is beyond compare to anything that we have ever known or anything that we could ever hope for. I gave a little demonstration of giving gifts. And yeah, they're enjoyable. They're kind of fun. And it makes you feel good to give the gift. Makes you feel good to receive the gift. And you get some enjoyment out of it. It satisfies your sweet tooth in this particular case. It may satisfy a need you have at the time for that gift. And you really appreciate the gift for a little while. And then the sweetness wears away, the satisfaction wears away, and then you need more. Or you want something else. But God gives a gift that keeps on giving. God gives the ultimate gift. But all too often, even those of us who have accepted Christ fail to think about that gift. And we fail to really appreciate what that gift means. You see, God provided us a gift, free of charge, no strings attached. But the cost of the gift was tremendous. I mentioned to the teens this morning something that is so easy to hide into, and that is the groupthink. The us. Okay? We can talk about us, and you're just one little bit in the crowd, and it's easy for you to think, okay, us, well, that's all of you, not me. You know? Or in one in which it's like, okay, us, and you know, I'm really not going to take any responsibility here, I'm just going along with the crowd. You see, if we're going to take the gift that God gives us, we have to own it. This isn't something that we can turn around and go, well, you know, yeah, we, a collective. You need to own it individually. But to give you an idea just how good the gift is, if you take a look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, this is after Jesus had described giving gifts to your children. You know, if they ask for something, you know, do you give them something else? You know, this has gone through, you know, ask and you shall receive. But Matthew 7 verse 11 then says, well, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how great then is the gift that the Father gives? Now, in one way, it makes you feel a little bit slighted because Jesus just called me evil. I don't think I'm evil. But compared to God, you betcha, I cannot hold a candle to the righteousness of God, regardless of what I do, regardless of how good I think I am, regardless of the good I go about doing in the world. my righteousness cannot save me. I need help. And that's where the gift comes in. Because we've been given the gift of grace. Now, we can look at this and say, wow, I've been given this wonderful gift. What do I do with it? Before I explore any further, when I talked about owning something and owning the idea, getting out of the groupthink, probably every person in here can quote John chapter 3 and verse 16. Can't you? For God so loved who? The world. Right? How easy is it to hide in that? The world. Okay? When you think of that verse from now on, I really want you to take out the world and put your name in there. For God so loved John that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? Put your name in there. Own it. Because this gift has been given, and if we don't treat it correctly, it's easy to maybe take it for granted. Well, the world. No. For God so loved me. God so loved you. Put your name in there and own that verse. Because it is yours. It is your personal gift. For God so loved you. And when once we start to own our salvation and own this gift of grace, maybe, just maybe, we'll live better. Maybe, just maybe, we'll think before we act. Maybe, just maybe, we won't give in to our own desires and follow our own way. We all make mistakes. We all sometimes give in to our own desire. And we pray about it. We repent. We ask God's forgiveness. And that grace washes over. The blood of Christ covers it up. But if we're not owning it, we keep making the mistake. See, we need to be able to learn from our mistake. What's the definition of insanity? Do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Okay? Well, that comes from not owning the process. You're not owning the situation. You're just up there going like, well, you know, I keep trying to, you know, get through that door and it just won't open. Well, the fella, the door says, pull, not push. You keep pushing. Learn. We'll take the gift that God gives us, and we can express ourselves and our love and our adoration for the Father who gave that to us freely with no strings attached. If you've been attending the adult Bible class in the morning in here, we've been talking in the book of Galatians. And one of the things that you find in the book of Galatians is that you had a situation where you had people coming up from Jerusalem into these northern territories, and they were putting restrictions on the Gentile believers, saying, well, you know, if you don't recognize the circumcision of Moses, then, well, you can't really be a follower. And Paul was adamant in this. And he said, no. There is no restriction on the gift. The gift is for all. Just like he told Titus. For the grace of God has appeared unto all men. Not just a few. Not just a select group. But to all men. Grace has appeared. Now we need to take it and own it. Take that good news. because the gift was given freely. The gift was there for us to accept. The gift is there with no strings attached. Paul's basic message is that grace is everything when it comes to the gospel. Without grace, without God raising Jesus from the dead, Paul said we're wasting our breath. If it was not, if that simple thing did not occur, then we're done. But we know it did occur. And when we accept on faith, even today, the testimony of those who were alive at the time, from the 500 plus witnesses who saw Jesus after the crucifixion, and we take that little bit of faith and we accept that gift with open hearts and we own that gift, how much more precious does it become? This gift is something that is satisfactory today and forever. Satisfies our soul. You see, we can't feed the soul with physical food. But what is the Word of God? The bread of life. It's what feeds us internally. One of the things that I want to do, speaking of owning it, I know we don't use our songbooks very much, but I brought one up here just for this particular purpose. If you would, open your songbook to number 141. Now, a lot of you have heard me lead this song because I think it's a wonderful song. The message is great. However, today, I want us to own this song. Anywhere you see "we," I want you to say "I." Anywhere it says "us," I want you to say "me." And see how it personalizes this song and takes it out of that group thing. And when we sing this song, think on these words. And don't use "we," use "I." Don't use "us," use "me." So, if you would, join me in singing this. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Son of God, what a wonder you are. You cleanse my soul from sin, sent the Spirit within. Son of God, what a wonder. Appreciate you. I adore you. I bow down before you. Spirit, you lead me. You guide me. You live right inside me. What a comfort you are. When we own these words, it takes it out of that group thing and makes it personal. It makes it something that we need to accept in just that way. Every time Paul preached, I don't care if it was Paul or whether it was Stephen or whether it was the words that Jesus said, what did it say that it did to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? It cut them to the quick. Because they ingested that and they knew they had to own it. The only way to get out of owning it was get rid of these guys. They didn't want to own it, but it hurt. But yet, in spite of everything that was done to take away the gift, man did not succeed. You see, the gift is greater than we are. The gift of grace. The love that pours down over us. The forgiveness that pours down over us. We take that little bit of faith, that mustard seed, and let it grow and flower. And we take our time to talk to God, to adore Him, to bow down before Him. Accept the leadership and guidance of the Spirit. And we apply that grace, knowing that we are going to mess up. Probably no more than 20 minutes after we walk out the door, we're going to think something or say something we shouldn't have said. Thank God for grace. We cannot be righteous enough to be in the presence of the most holy God. Our righteousness cannot, will not ever save us. Only through grace. So now we ask the question, just as Paul asked in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what do you say then? We just go on sinning so grace may abound? God forbid. This is not, oh, I've been washed. I've got grace. I can just go do whatever I want to. No. What did Jesus do? All right, we always look at the example of what did Jesus do. It says that He went about doing what? Good. Didn't say He went about just doing whatever He wanted to do. He went about doing good. When Paul is out and he's going his missionary journeys, he said, I have learned to be content in all things. I've been starving, times of lean. I've been where I've had plenty. But I've learned from these that in all things to be content. Paul also prayed for the removal of a certain thorn in the flesh. What was God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. What little bit of discomfort you put up with in this physical body, my grace is going to overcome that. Your discomfort right now doesn't mean anything. In the end, my grace is what is going to save you, Paul. My grace is what is going to bring you home to me. And in all of Paul's writings, he is always talking about running the race, striving for the prize, wanting to be able to hear those words, welcome home, good and faithful servant. But if we do not accept the gift of grace and realize that that prize is attainable just because God says, I forgive you, get up, dust yourself off, keep going. Keep running that race. If we ignore grace and realize how fallen we are, we will never get up out of the dirt and continue. That's how wonderful the gift of grace is. It is for us. It is for me. It is for each and every person in here. Irrespective of any of the identity tags that they try, that the world tries to put on people today. I've said it before. Anytime you want to, the world wants to divide us. You're into gender groups and mixed up gender groups, and you're into racial groups, and you're into all these different groups. Grace covers them all. It applies to everyone. You see, because there is only one race, and that's the human race. because we were made in God's image. Doesn't matter what differences there may be in the way we look. But we shouldn't be worried about things like that. Not in the church. Because grace has been given to everyone. Grace has appeared unto all men. It's there. The question is, are we going to own it? Are we going to accept it and live it as God wants us to live? One of the things that we find that I consider, and I'm going to state my opinion, I consider a problem when it comes to some of the folks who want to practice a religion. Far too often, it's like, well, you have to say this on this day at this time, otherwise you're in trouble. I don't see that in Scripture. Or they put some kind of restriction on the gift of grace. There is no restriction on the gift of grace. It is just that, a gift freely given. Free for you to accept or disregard. You see, God gave us free will. Are we going to accept His grace? I hope you do. Are we going to go, nah, I'm going to go my own way? God says, hey, I'm not, can't make you. Because then you wouldn't be the creatures that I want you to be. I want you to love me and worship me because you love me and want to worship me. I didn't make you to be just some robot. You see, God gave us that free will to accept the gift of grace or to turn it away. We all know that God said that it was His will that none should perish. But we also know it ain't going to happen. Most of us aren't smart enough to go pick up the gift God gave us and use it. One of the problems we see in the world, everyone is so concerned about themselves, they'll turn around and worship nature. Everything's taken from a secular, humanistic society point of view. And they forget all about the one who made us all. And they turn away His gift. But it's there for us, brothers and sisters. It's there. The question is, are we going to own it? Are we going to accept what was given to us at such a huge cost? You see, I gave away $100,000. It's 98 cents a six pack at Walmart. Okay? Didn't cost me hardly anything. But do you realize what grace, the ability to bestow that grace, cost God? The death of Jesus. We read in Scripture where Jesus is in the garden praying. And you have to wonder what that prayer was like. God, is there any other way? Do I have to do this? Is there any way other than dying for a bunch of ungrateful creatures? Is there another way? And in the end, Jesus, thankfully, said, not my will, but yours be done. The man is lying there in the dirt, sweating blood, knowing what's coming, knowing the pain his physical body is going to be put through, knowing what he's going to face. The very people he's here to save are going to make fun of him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to keep beating on him. They're going to kill him. Father, is there any other way? There was no answer. There was no, Calvary riding up to rescue him. Instead, he went through with his father's will. So this gift that costs so much, this gift that is there for us, and if you don't know Jesus, get to know Him. He loves you. He died for you. His blood washes you and makes you whole and clean. And that grace is sufficient for you, regardless of how you find yourself in this world. God's answer to Paul is the same as to us. My grace is sufficient for you. That's how great and how precious this gift is. Don't turn it away. Don't take it for granted. That's what Paul was saying. You're just going to keep on sinning so grace may abound? God forbid. Don't take it for granted. Don't cheapen it like it's just something to be used and thrown away. It's there for you forever to bring you into the courts of God on that great day. You see, salvation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Without grace, we can't get it because we're not good enough and never will be. Think about these things as you go about your life today. Think on that verse, John 3:16, and own it. Put your name in there. Whenever you think of the song, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Not we. Let's get out of the group think and get into owning it in your heart. Because if you do, it'll change your life. If you're already a member and you need the prayers of the church, it's available. They're ready because as grace is extended to you, the prayers go up for you so that you may own this process, that you may own salvation. If you don't know Jesus, no better time to come to get to know Him. We have tons of people around here who will study with you. If you need to get in the water and put Him on, it's available today. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, own the gift of grace. And do not make it cheap. Own it. Let's all join together as we stand and sing and praise our wonderful God.